Welcome everyone, Eric Perez here, CEO of the Queensland Seafood Industry Association. Welcome to our next podcast, which focuses on a good friend of mine working in Millstream Productions. His name is Matt Blythe. How are you, Matt?
Yeah, very well, thanks, Eric.
Matt, I just want to throw over to you to give the audience a bit of an introduction to who you are, and then I've got a couple of questions for you. So over to you, Matt.
As Eric said, Matt Blythe, I probably know quite a few of the QSIA members, through work that we've done in the past. It's always been a pleasure and a privilege to, produce work for the Australian seafood industry and we love it. So more than happy to chat about some of the projects we've been involved in over the years.
Okay, what was the first project or production that you did in the seafood industry?
That's a good question. It was about 4 years ago. We were approached by Bruce Davey, from the Wildcard up in the Northern Territory, and Bruce was wanting to produce Ben-Hur, and we thought, gee whiz, this sounds interesting, so we went up to the Wildcard, both Alanea Glore, my co-producer, who I also run Millstream with, and myself, and I think that was it. And we went up and had a bit of a fishing trip with Bruce, and meanwhile started talking about drawing a line. It was amazing because I actually met Bruce just totally by chance through his mum. His mum and I, we attend the same church, or used to attend the same church down on the Gold Coast. I've since moved. But his mum introduced us, and boy, anyone that knows Elspeth Davey knows that Bruce and Elspeth are very alike, but so very different all at the same time. So we had a wonderful chat, next thing you know, we're on the Wildcard and continued to chat, Alanea jumped on board and he was great. Alanea's got this a technical ability that is just outstanding. And so between the two of us, and Bruce, the journey began and off we went. Bags in tow around the coast of Australia, and the first stop was WA and, we worked with Brad Adams and, David Carter from Austral, you name it. Paddy Daniels, a lobster fisherman from the south, and Mary surname, but she was up in the north, and a whole bunch of other people. Yeah, just an amazing bunch of people from Western Australia, and of course Bill Passy. Oh, what a storyteller Bill Passy is, from Australia Bay Seafood. And, so we got all those interviews in the can, and I looked at Bruce and I said, Bruce, we've got the film. We shot WA and we pretty much had everything we needed. Ray Davey as well. I can't believe I'm remembering everybody's names. I'm hopeless with names usually. But that was it. That was the thing. Like, pretty much every fisherman I've ever worked with, I can recall so much because, that when you get people talking about something that they love or something that's precious to them, they're speaking from the heart, and I find that fishermen have a tendency to do that. It leaves an indelible impression upon you, and withdrawing the line, I guess that was it. It really cut to my quick, in terms of seeing what the industry was going through and the difficulties myself and Alan, I was filmmakers, we were passionate about trying to help, and that wouldn't have been possible obviously without Bruce, and he was the conduit. And I still say that to this day, Bruce may not have been on the tools in terms of, editing or camera work, but he certainly was wonderful in terms of introducing us to the right people, and he still does that to this day, and hence, Alanea and I have continued to go on and do projects, without Bruce, but he's always interested and always willing to try and introduce us to somebody that might be able to help us get a leg up with the next project.
Oh, brilliant. No, that's excellent. So in your travels, given that you've had a solid block of time with industry, What are the kinds of issues you're hearing from fishermen around the place that you would think are common issues that come up in your chats with fisher folk?
I think off the back of drawing the line, the most immediate one that jumps to mind is, you know, marine parks. You know, and I think there's been a huge win in that regard recently with the work from Seafood Industry Australia and the ensemble cast of people working with the Senate and, you know, to try and get people across and understand, or politicians across and understand what the real issues are, and that it's not, you know, the state of the environment, or sorry, the state of the ocean isn't totally resting upon the shoulders of the seafood industry. So that has been really interesting. And you know, to talk about that issue, I mean, I don't know if it's necessarily gone away. I know that Tony Burt's continuing to speak about, you know, trying to claw back more ground, you know, if there was a change of government or if another disallowance were to go forward. I doubt that would happen, but you know, I think that that this is an issue that we all need to be cognizant of. I think too, and maybe this, you know, not meaning to, you know, promote our work, but I think it's so important that the Australian public are aware of the seafood industry story. You know, like people that have seen Drawing the Line who aren't fishermen, it's left, as I said, left an indelible impression upon me, but it's done the same with a lot of people that have seen the film and then sent us messages or whatever it might be. And so I think those stories about the industry and social license, just trying to communicate, not necessarily everything political, just letting people share a bit of your lives, is so important because it humanises the industry and at the same time enables people to, it breaks down the myths that are being perpetuated out there by whatever group it might be. I think that's so important that we, you know, we present a human face and don't necessarily get caught up in the anger or the vitriol or whatever. We tried that so hard to not get involved in that side of things with Drawing the Line. I think it's a really dignified film, you know. We certainly tried not to scrape the bottom of the barrel as such, you know, in terms of anger and frustration. Every story in that film was a hero story. Everyone had an insurmountable problem and they were wanting to communicate solutions to those problems. And I think that's what we need to be focusing on, focusing on solutions as opposed to focusing on where the bar is set at the moment. You know, what's the solution? How do we go about it? And for me, you know, like, it's always been important, as I mentioned before, to, you know, to help share these stories, you know, and, you know, we don't just do seafood industry work. We do work right across the broad spectrum, you know, but yeah, this is work that we really enjoy, that's for sure.
You preempted one of my questions, which is good. What are some of the common issues you can see from this industry with others that you've worked with? Is it... And I'm just speculating here, but one that I've talked with you about offline and in other with other people is this thing about getting our story out there in a format that not just humanises us, but gives the full picture as to what we're about and why we do what we do. Is that, do you find any of that commonality across sectors, or is there another issue that you find that is common to the industries you've worked in?
I think, you know, the work that's being done with regard to Project Brigade at the moment and, you know, depression within the seafood industry, that seems to be fairly common, you know, in the agriculture space as well. I've got my wife, we're based in North Queensland on a small farm. Her cousin, her first cousin is a sweet potato farmer, and Landline have just released a promo about him. He's got tons, literally hundreds of tons of sweet potatoes that he's going to have to plough back into the ground this year if he can't sell it as cattle feed or whatever it might be. We're certainly buying a fair bit of it off him at the moment, you know, just to try and keep the feed up to our cows. We haven't got that many, you know, but I don't know how people in, you know, affected by drought, or farmers affected by drought, gosh, you know, like that, and you know, I'm only talking about people that have got the capacity to be earning at the moment. You know, these other poor people out there, oh gosh, you know, I think they're same but different problems. Getting back to your question a little earlier, which was with regard to, you know, some of the issues affecting people, I think that's a huge one. And as well as that, I think sustainability, you know, being able and backing up our industry with science, I think that's really at the crux of giving us giving the industry a strong voice. You know, like, the more that fishermen can be involved with scientists, you know, I think the better. Like the work we've done recently down in Tasmania with IMAS, has been fantastic, and, you know, looking at technologies that are helping to, you know, keep a really close eye on and record of what's being, you know, taken and being sustainable. I think it's really going to help. I think that's pretty much it on that one for me, mate.
Yeah, no worries. What we typically do with the podcast is we put some links to information, and one thing I'd like to share with those that are listening to the podcast is put up some links, and I'll get them off you offline here to some of the work that you've done, so that people can get in and have a look at that. So to wind things up here, and I've just got one last question. Where to from here with the seafood industry? Have you got other projects on? Is there a constant flow of interest in getting Millstream Productions to do work in this space? Like, what's the next year or two hold for you, mate?
Good question. We're doing a lot of work at the moment with Project Seaside, so from producing, you know, some really heartfelt stories, you know, from stories of loss or stories of near miss, that have been quite incredible to work on. We've got a safety project that we're looking at doing down in South Australia in the not too distant future, and we're trying wherever possible to access funding through the different BRAC systems across the country to be able to continue doing the work that we've been doing, like the work we've done in Tasmania. But so I'm speaking at the moment to, you know, South Australia Wildcatch and WAFIC in WA, and then also the NT Seafood Council. But, you know, we usually try to stay at 12 months ahead of our next, you know, our funding, because you just never know when there's going to be a hold-up, and there always seems to be hold-ups. I've got to keep the other work coming as well. So I do lots of work up in Indigenous communities, and, you know, sometimes a bit of work for Landline or whoever it might be, just trying to, you know, keep the farm afloat.
Yeah, it's all good. Yeah, look, I'll put in a shameless plug for the association. We're working with you guys on producing some biosecurity materials and information around education on that topic, and that funding came from the FRDC, which we're grateful for, and as we come towards the end of that production and when we can get them out to the world, if you're available, we might come back and have a chat about that, because there's some stories around how we got that produced that I wouldn't mind sharing with the listeners as well. So, look, Matt, I appreciate your time. I know that you're busy. Thanks, and, we'll catch you up on the next podcast, mate.
Yeah, no worries at all, Eric. Thank you.
Thanks, mate.